So the passage we're going to be looking at, real quick, is going to be 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And it reads, after this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and with them some of the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazar Tamar, that is the En-Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or the pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir from you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, with their wives and their children, and the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehazel, the son of Zeruiah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly, and he said, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Amen. All right, so, you know what I like to do? I like to give you a little bit of context. So, the context here is that we have King Jehoshaphat, and he is the son of Asa. And for all my brothers and sisters in here in BSF, this is a preview of what's going to be coming up. But I couldn't help myself reading ahead here and just seeing how this plays so much into being God's people today and the different things and situations that we deal with. So you have this king, and was he a good king? Was he a bad king? Was he a mixed bag? I would probably say that he's a mixed bag leaning towards good. He has done some good. He's gotten rid of the Asherah poles. He's tried to lead his people in a reform to actually come back to God. He's actually set out judges that judge righteously in Israel. Now, he has done some things. He's sided with this other king of Israel. You may not know his name, or you may not have heard of him. His name is Ahab. And Ahab was not a good king, to say the least. But we're not talking about that. He teamed up with him. He has done some things. So, on Jehoshaphat's part, you know, when we look at his actions, when he found out that this great horde was coming, and maybe you spied out the name or heard the name of Edom, you may have remembered that. When Brother Michael was up here preaching, and remember when the children of Israel were going past and they wanted to go to the land and they refused and they had to turn around and go the long way. That is remarked in this prayer. That's brought up in this prayer that they went the long way. They didn't fight them. And look how they repay them. They're coming against them now to expel them from the land. Now they're a divided nation. There's Israel and there's Jerusalem. And there's Jehoshaphat in Jerusalem, that they're no match for this, for these nations that have come against them. So where does he turn? It says he turns to the Lord. He says that he prays to him. And I just read to you the prayer. And that just stood out, you know, so starkly in that prayer. It says in verse 20, 12, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And isn't that a bulwark, a stance that we as God's people take? You know, unlike the I think it was the prophet, or better yet, the theologian Benjamin Franklin, that said, you know, God helps those who help themselves, something to that effect. This is a little bit different. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So let's look at three truths that just stand out to us and come out to hear, and something to take into our prayer time. The first truth that we see is that God is greater than our enemies. God is greater than our enemies. And you see this here in a situation in which there was no way that they were going to be able to fight back. Now, spoiler alert, as we go forward and roll forward in this passage, we're going to find out that Jehoshaphat is going to have singers go before them, and they're going to do as God says. They're going to march out to where this army is at. And so God tells them that you're not going to have to fight, but you have to think that some of them were probably afraid that they would have to fight. So they march out there, and what do they come up? When they start singing, they come up upon where this army is at. They see dead bodies all around. A battle's already taken place. What turns out is that they've turned on each other and they've killed each other. And all they had to do, Jerusalem, is go down there and pick the plunder. They just went down there and found, you know, tons of supplies and tons of things. So God had caused them in some fashion to fight themselves, maybe at night, maybe during the day. And you could see God working this before them, where they didn't even have to fight. All they had to do was just pick up the plunder afterward, that he truly delivered these nations into their hands. And so that's something always to remember, is that whatever we're going through, we may not be big enough to fight it, but God is much bigger than our enemies in our situations. And so we find that God, in this case, is Savior. And our salvation is in him. Their salvation is in him. And so we look to him for when we're in trouble, when we meet those enemies, when we meet those things in our life that are too big for us to handle, that God is a Savior, because he promises to be a Savior for his people. You know, one of the things that I look at, especially in the Old Testament during this time, was is that, just real quick, so the nation's divided. And so you have Israel and you have Judah. And I won't go into how that came about, but many of you know how that came about. And so this was over punishment. This is punishment to Solomon, and then also to Rehoboam after him. But the nation is divided. But God promised Solomon that I'm going to have somebody there that's going to sit on that throne for the sake of my servant David. And that it was going to be through this nation of Judah that God was going to fulfill his promise and bring about Jesus Christ. However, you would think that even though he had a remnant here in Judah,
that Judah would be his favorite, right?
But no, God is good to both nations when they follow him and when they obey him. He promises Jeroboam and he promises Israel, hey, if you will follow me undividedly, I will bless your nation, Israel. What does that tell you about God? Well, that tells you not only is he a savior, but he's faithful. He's trustful. Even to a nation in which the savior was not going to come through and that was going to prove to go their own way, he's still faithful to be able to preserve them and to keep them when they were true and when they did what they were supposed to do. I mean, that says a lot about God's character as just not only being a savior, but also being faithful. So he's our savior and he's also faithful. We can trust him in every situation. And then the last thing and that we have to remember is that especially in the time that we're in now and the time in which we're actually looking back as they were looking forward down the corridor of time and looking for the promise of Christ as the salvation of sin. And we're looking back, we're looking at Christ as well, that Jesus Christ is our safety. And so the battles that we face now, while they may be mortal battles, they may be physical battles, we think we do battles against adversaries, other human adversaries, but we're told that, you know, it's really our battle is a spiritual battle. And it's against not flesh and blood, but against principalities, against Satan. And in that battle, is Jesus Christ is our safety. We know that when Jesus came, that the majority of people, they were looking for somebody to save them from Rome, to deliver them from Rome. But Jesus came to deliver them from something that was a lot bigger and had them in bondage other than Rome, that it was Satan. It was actually a spiritual battle. They actually needed to be free. And he, in his blood, in his righteousness, was able to make people free. And he's able to make us free today. He is our safety. And we see here that we know that we go through life and it's not going to be easy. Matter of fact, we're kind of told the opposite. If you thought that the life of a Christian was going to be easy, I think you're looking for some of the other preachers. That kind of preached that. But what we are promised is that God will take care of us, that he will be our protection, and that we are safe in him. Once again, we can totally trust him. We can put all our eggs in his basket, knowing that we are saved from the punishment and from the oppression of sin. And that he has promised to deliver us and to do good to us all our days. And so with these things, we can go into our prayer life and into prayer this evening, lifting each other up, lifting up other people, lifting up our problems, understanding that that God is bigger than our enemies, that he truly is our Savior, and he's our Savior because of who he is and his character and his faithfulness, and that our true safety throughout life is the spiritual safety that we have in Jesus Christ. And with that, no one can snatch us from his hand, all those that have been given to him. Amen.